Today on the program, we meet a female vocal ensemble whose work weaves together genres from the classical to the contemporary with a touch of spoken word and a melodic mist of cool jazz. I'm Jabalani LaFall, and on today's Central Standard, we're joined by Book of Gaia, a group with sophisticated arrangements, original compositions, and intricate harmonies, performing for us today, live in the studio. In fact, they're setting up right now with a keyboard player and an upright bass player. Join us as we jam and turn your ordinary morning into a late night at the Blue Room. That's all ahead on Central Standard after this hour's news. Good morning, Kansas City. Gaia is the great mother of all heavenly gods and the personification of Earth, who birthed all of the sea gods, including Neptune. Meanwhile, in the sea of musical offerings here in Kansas City, the musical trio of Book of Gaia continues, in the words of local jazz great Bobby Watson, to make waves. This is Central Standard. I'm Jabalani LaFall. Today we learn more about this trio of soulful musical divas who make Kansas City their home, and we're going to be treated to a good conversation and a live performance. Our guests are Book of Gaia, the aforementioned Book of Gaia, Angela Hagenbach, Nadra Dixon, who you may know from KCUR's 12th Street Jump, and Pamela Baskin Watson. They're joined today by Tyrone Clark on upright bass and Eddie Moore on the keyboard. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you so much.
Great to be here.
Yeah. First off, the name, Book of Gaia. Greek mythology, to be sure, but what was the intention behind the name for you ladies?
We are bountiful women. And we needed a bountiful name.
We all have had separate careers, and this is an opportunity to bring our particular chapters of our lives into a book of Gaia.
Yes, and we're all women of a certain age, and we feel that we've had amazing experiences both in our professional and private lives that we can hopefully impart some new wisdom, some old wisdom, and continue an exciting journey.
The name, though, Nadra, where did it come from? Who thought of it? Were you looking through a book? Were you?
Yes, actually, all three of us were roundtabling.
We have a roundtable twice a week and rehearsals and such. And so we were researching a project that we were working on. And as we were working on that project, we realized that, wait a minute, we don't have a name for a group. So in the course of doing the research for that particular program, which was called Chant of Harlem, which I think we'll speak about a little bit later, we were tossing around some ideas about what to call ourselves. And we're avid readers. We love the arts. We love the music. We love the history. We love mythology. And we love, you know, the earth, and what better name. And again, like Pam said, it sort of encapsulates our chapters of performance, solo performances, and brings us all together in a book. And the Gaia part is just...
It's a goddess realm thing.
Right.
You must get there. That's what it is.
Right. Makes sense. Let's get some primers. Let's introduce yourselves for us and for our listeners, beginning with Angela Hagenbach. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I am a contralto. I've been singing in this city since 1990, and I perform all over the world. I've been a jazz ambassador for the United States for a couple of tours. I've done all kinds of festivals and such, and I've worked with these guys on a number of occasions. And I also own Amazon Records and AH Entertainment Incorporated. And I am the contralto of Book of Gaia.
Pamela?
I am a mezzo-soprano, and my biggest bulk of career was in New York. We just moved back here. For me, it's been about 10 or 11 years, but I am an accompanist by, that's what I do for choirs and for vocalists, and I'm a coach and a teacher, and I'm also a composer and arranger I have had things recorded by Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers and Betty Carter and Roy Hargrove and Kevin Mahogany from Kansas City and various other things. And I also am a choral arranger, so that's what I do.
Well, to keep it in the Greek realm,
right?
I am a thespian. Absolutely, I am an actor, singer, dancer, and a siren soprano. And my career has been: I'm a former musical theater, Broadway performer, actor, singer, dancer, kind of what they call triple threat. I've had a very rich career in musical theater. And in New York and across the country, I had branched out into choreography and to directing. And I grew up here in Kansas City, but most of my adult life was spent in New York. But I've been back here going on 5 years and have been blessed here in Kansas City to get very actively involved in the community, in the community of artists, fine artists here in Kansas City, in lots of theater, and both on the performing side and the directing side. It's been a new discovery to be back and discovering Kansas City again as a new place to live from the time I was a girl.
Yeah.
And
of course.
and then discovering this amazing synergetic relationship with these two fine women who are artists in the highest realm. And then we are also blessed to be accompanied by fabulous
Absolutely.
Musicians who've been sticking with us throughout this journey so far, which is a year old.
Yeah.
We are
this
month we are celebrating our first year together.
And we'll hear some of that music in a minute and
yes.
talk about the collaborations in a minute. A year old, that's young.
That's very
it
young.
Is.
What took so long?
Well, we were all busy with our own careers. Mm-hmm. And again, as I said, we had an opportunity to create a work. And it was a contact that I had worked for some years back. And so I said, I wanted to do something a little different. And so maybe this is part of your story, Pam.
My story. Yeah, I guess coming together to create the work, Chant of Harlem, was initially how I got brought into it. About a little more than a year ago, there was an email that I got from Angela. And even though we knew about one another, I did not really know these ladies.
Mm-hmm.
The email was saying that she was looking for a musical director and someone who was an arranger. I got mush mouth. Is an arranger and also someone who possibly was a singer. And I, at that particular point, being in Kansas City, I'm even though I was born here, my connections were not such that I was in the point of getting a little frustrated.
My,
and I was happy.
My email said, Bobby, I'm looking for your wife, your lovely wife, Pam. I know she's a fabulous singer and a wonderful arranger, but does she also sing? And bam.
She's a triple threat in her own right, too. Composer, arranger, singer, extraordinaire.
That's how. And then I'll...
And lifetime collaborator with Bobby Watts. Lifetime collaborator.
Yeah.
But let's get back to the group itself. The group was sort of established with that project, the musical
yes.
theater project, Chant of Harlem. Tell us a little bit about that, and then we'll get into some of the precursors for the inspiration for the songs that you're going to perform here today.
Chant of Harlem was commissioned by the Nebraska school district for their program Arts Are Basic. And so it's designed as a 50-minute package of entertainment which educates at the same time. The period they were wanting us to explore was the Harlem Renaissance, the period from the 1920s to the 1930s, which is one of the most prolific and rich periods of time for African Americans in this country. The arts flourished, philosophy flourished. People, black people, were striving for to become an integral part of this nation in every positive way possible. And, of course, some of the incredible historic icons that have come out of that period, W.E.B. Du Bois, Langston Hughes, Duke Ellington, are all products of that era. So we were charged with putting together a 50-minute piece, musical piece, theatrical piece, actually, that
That was our spin. They just wanted a workshop with some music, and we took it to a whole new level.
At first, we didn't know whether we were going to do a cabaret of, you know,
songs. We started looking at all the various artistic genres that was so highly elevated in that time. So we said, no, we can't just sing. We've got to also do some of the poetry, some of the literature. We've got to do some of the dances and some of the, and so, you know, we did what we could do in 50 minutes, and it became this wonderful work that we're very, very proud of. Actually, we're performing it at Johnson County Community College on October 2nd at the Polsky Theater.
So. This is Central Standard on 89.3 FM KCUR, streaming live on KCUR.org. I'm your host, Javelani LaFall. Our guests are Book of Gaia, Angela Hagenbach, Nedra Dixon, who you may know from KCUR's 12th Street Jump, and Pamela Baskin-Watson. They're joined today by Tyrone Clark on upright bass and Eddie Moore on keyboard. We'll hear some musical stylings in a minute, but let's talk about Maya Angelou. You just talked about the poets and artists of the Harlem Renaissance period and the birth of jazz and artistic movement and Renaissance from that period and how it inspired your first collaboration. Talk about Maya Angelou's influence.
Okay, I am a huge, I've also always been a huge fan of Dr. Maya Angelou. And years ago, actually, it's been, I shouldn't tell them any years, but it's been, I wrote the tune actually about 20-something years ago. Wow. And I could not finish it. The last part, as you're going to hear, is talking about the wisdom of older women. And but I didn't have gray hair at that particular time. So honestly,
You still don't.
I really don't. You know, wink, wink.
None of us do.
I can confirm that.
Yes, you can confirm that. Right. But I actually did not finish the piece until I moved back here to Kansas City because I could internalize more so that iconic poem of Dr. Maya Angelou's Phenomenal Woman.
So perhaps it was because you were too young.
Exactly.
And you needed some life experience to finish the piece.
To finish the piece. Yes.
We're going to play that later, but tell me what strikes you about that piece. For me, it's the opening line, "Pretty women wonder where my secret lies," which is pretty astounding. It doesn't say men.
Yeah.
It says,
yeah,
"Pretty women wonder where my secret lies," and going on to talk about being a phenomenal woman. What strikes you, Pamela?
Well, from reading the poem and thinking about what I have seen and heard when I heard Dr. Angelou talk, when you look at her, she is a fabulously handsome woman, but she's not a beautiful woman, if that makes any sense. I don't mean it in a negative at all.
Mm-hmm. In the sense of the standard of beauty.
Yeah, in the standard of beauty, but she's trying to say that, I believe she's saying that you've got to love everything about yourself in order to be able to put yourself out in the world and be this creative, wonderful, spiritual, strong person. And that's what I got.
I have it. My own philosophy about beauty and prettiness. I think we are born, all of us, you know, pretty and attractive, because in order for the species to continue, it's our physical attraction that allows us to go forth and continue to proliferate as a human species. But I think that beauty is something that you earn. I think you earn your and it may have nothing to do with the physical structure that you're given genetically. It has all to do with how you live your life, what you've done, how you've contributed with what the gifts that you're born with, to your world, to the world that surrounds you and greater. And you earn that beauty hardcore. So a pretty woman, a pretty young woman might say, wow, well, how does she get all the attention? You know, she's not 115 pounds and, you know, 6'2" and looking like a runway model, but yet she has the attention attention of crowds of people, or men are, you know, doing double takes as she walks down the street, and her hips may be 42 inches wide, and
she commands
right.
that attention.
But yeah, if she's lived her life, she has earned her beauty, and you pay attention when a woman or a man, it doesn't have to be, it's not necessarily a woman thing, a person who has lived a good life and a full life, you turn around and look at what they've got to offer.
Angela Hagenbeck, what strikes you about that piece?
Well, Maya Angelou is such a phenomenal woman in her own right. And she embodies what it is to be a woman, a black woman, a mother, an educator, and all of that, because she exudes this confidence that comes, I think, from self-acceptance and self-love. Mm-hmm. And until you can be at that place and be at one and comfortable with yourself, then I don't think you can love others. You can see the good in others and in things, and like the beauty of the earth, for example, or the sea. God, if you will, within each other. And so, and I think all of her works, her poems, and just her very soul brings that out and makes you want to embrace yourself and embrace others, because we're all here together and we're all related.
That's an excellent segue of sea gods and maritime-based stuff, because the next question I'm going to ask you is about The Dolphin Dance by jazz legend Herbie Hancock. We sort of whet our listeners' appetites for the piece inspired by Phenomenal Woman and the piece inspired by Maya Angelou, which we'll hear later in this block of time. But now let's jump like a dolphin to Dolphin Dance. What was the inspiration behind that piece?
I cannot take credit for the wonderful arrangement or the wonderful words. The arrangement was done by bassist New York. Well, it's a Herbie Hancock piece.
It's a Herbie Hancock piece, right.
Yes. The vocal arrangement was done by my friend and New York bassist Mickey Bass, and he did it for four voices, and I pared it down for three because I thought the lyrics to this, which most people do not even know there are, by Fred Farrell.
Fred Farrell, but, once again.
I know, but the story is so in line with who we are and how we feel about the universe and just relaxing.
And, of course, the entire world is two-thirds water, as are we. And so it's just a lovely song about being free. And, again, loving
free
yourself.
To be,
and loving your
free to be. And free to just live are the lyrics.
So let's prepare ourselves for Dolphin Dance as we start to perform this. It'll be our first performance piece from Book of Gaia, Dolphin Dance by jazz legend Herbie Hancock. While the band sets up, we should note that Dolphin Dance is off the 1981 album by Herbie Hancock, Maiden Voyage, a fluid and smooth offering that preceded some of his more experimental trips with world music, hip-hop, and pop music that he was known in the larger sphere outside of jazz for. So let's hear it, Dolphin Dance by Book of Gaia, performed here live on Central Standard. You can take it away whenever you're ready to go.
Look to the waves breaking the foam, dancing like children over their homes. The dolphins, Neptune's children at play, freer than many of us can say. The sound made to resound, laughter like children splashing around, and their playfulness reminds me life could be so nice if we just played back more and tried. Go to yourself. there's nothing else. Everything's got to come from that cell. The dolphins, carefree, help me to see. The time to give that child in you a chance to live, to live, just live, just live, just live, just live, just live, just to live.
Dolphin Dance, originally composed and performed by Herbie Hancock and refashioned by our guest today live, the soulful trio of female vocalists, accomplished female vocalists, goddesses, Book of Gaia, Angela Hagenmeck, Nedra Dixon, who you also may know from KCR's 12th Street Jump, and Pamela Baskin Watson. They're joined today by Tyrone Clark on the upright bass, Eddie Moore on the keyboard. You are listening to Central Standard. We're going to prepare to go back-to-back with the musical offerings. We just heard Dolphin Dance, as I mentioned, and now we'll be hearing Sister Maya Said, which is based on Maya Angelou's poem, Phenomenal Woman. That's where the inspiration comes from. So we'll hear what Sister Maya said and how they inspired Book of Gaia. Pamela Baskin is going to be on vocals here, and we'll get right into it.
Women wonder just where my secrets lie. I'm not cute, nor built a suit of fashion model size. But when I start to tell them, they think I'm telling lies. But I say it's in the reach of my arms. It's in the span of my hips. It's in the stride of my step and the curl of my lips.
I walk into a room just as cool as you please. And to a man, the fellas stand up, or they fall down to their knees. They swarm around me, a hive of honeybees. I say, it's in the fire in my eyes. It's in the flash of my teeth. It's in the swing of my waist. It's in the joy in my feet.
Your color doesn't matter, your size matters not, because the measure of a woman is with her mind and with her heart. Wisdom is a virtue that only time can teach.
In time
you'll grow to understand that wisdom don't come cheap. But if you're willing to pay,
hey,
this old life will teach you all the stories you'll tell about the love you receive when you learn to love yourself.
But Sister Maya said it best.
She said, phenomenally you will be
a phenomenal woman.
Oh, whether you are a young girl
or your hair is flecked with gray,
life reveals those secrets in its own time
and in its own way.
Receive them freely and learn your lessons. Because right or wrong, good or bad, only time will tell. But if you're willing to pray, this old life will teach you all the lessons you'll learn. And I have the stories you'll tell about power.
Love yourself,
but
Sister Maya said it best.
She said,
It's in the reach of my arm.
It's in the need for my care. 'Cause I am phenomenal woman, that's me.
That's me.
That's me. That's me.
That was the song Sister Maya Said, performed on lead vocals by Pamela Baskin Watson, based on the poem by Maya Angelou, Phenomenal Woman, also recited by Angela Hagenbach and Nedra Dixon. These three women comprise Book of Gaia, our guest today on Central Standard, performing live. They're joined by Tyrone Clark on upright bass and Eddie Moore on the keyboard. We're going to take a quick break, and when we return, we'll hear more music and more talk with Book of Gaia. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Central Standard. I'm your host, Jabalani LaFall. It's hot outside, and it's definitely hot in here, live on Central Standard in the studio with our guests, the lovely ladies of Book of Gaia, Angela Hagenbach, Nedra Dixon, and Pamela Baskin Watson. They're joined today by Tyrone Clark on upright bass and Eddie Moore on the keyboard. Book of Gaia celebrates their first year of being grouped by performing this Friday, July 20th, at the Blue Room in the 18th and Vine District, beginning at 8:30. They've been regaling us with their soulful sounds and their spoken word infusions, a sort of hybrid of sublime jazz. That's how I can describe it there.
We use that as a quote.
And they're delighted by that. Thank you. I will not charge for that. I like jazz that much. So we're going to get right into, without further ado, the song Never Been in Love by Tad Dameron and Irving Reed, arranged by Pamela Baskin Watson's Never Been in Love.
Wise beyond my years, I laughed no laugh and cried no tears. Love was just a word. I have never been in love, but now I am.
That was Never Been in Love by Tad Dameron and Irving Reed, arranged by Pamela Baskin Watson, one of the members of the group Book of Gaia, which includes Pamela Baskin Watson, Angela Hagenbach, and Nedra Dixon, who you may know from KCUR's 12th Street Jump. They're joined today by Tyrone Clark on upright bass and Eddie Moore on keyboard. We're jamming inside of Central Standard on 89.3 KCUR, streaming live on KCUR.org. So, dish with us, ladies. What is it like to have three divas in one place? Now we're not asking you to air out drama, but we kind of are. Just a smidgen, just a little something, break it off. Anecdotal evidence, if you will. How do you deal with, shall we say, creative, personality, differences, issues? How do you deal with it?
We have three very strong personalities at play all the time. But surprisingly, we are also really good listeners to one another. We, you know, in order to make great harmony, you have to have open ears to hear everything else that you're about to blend with.
And there's more to communication. It's more than just speaking. Mm-hmm. There's body language. There's expressions, facial expression. And you can feel, at least, I think we all do.
Yeah.
We can feel and read that, and that comes into play in our discussions, our roundtables, our collaborations with our music, and all of that.
It's also taking into consideration that all of us actually come from different disciplines.
Yeah.
And different. So we are very mindful that each of our ideas, we are very mindful of the other, the respect that it comes when someone else gives an example, or you know, if there's a difference of opinion, we take into what's the word, lady?
Well, we take into consideration.
Thank you. We take into consideration everybody,
and also it's nice.
Opinions.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
But it's nice to have three, because you know, majority rules.
Right.
That's right.
Two-thirds
so
majority.
If two of them have to go say that it's this way, then the last one has to say, all right,
exactly.
It's this
okay.
way.
But we try to be very fair and open-minded, and it's very important that we work well together, which we do. And the one of, aside from everything else, you know, the music and the musicality and the work ethic and all of that aside, we have to have fun.
We laugh a lot.
We laugh a lot. And having fun and working together, it is so important that we continue to enjoy it. Because then that comes across in the music and our work and our experiences, our the things that we strive for.
Mm-hmm.
And the musicians we work with.
Yeah.
We laugh and giggle. And,
We have this facade of being these sophisticated divas on the outside. These guys have seen us giggle and act a real idiot sometimes in the living room floor as we are in our creative modes. And with all of our eclectic skill sets, we do come from, I come from the discipline of musical theater and a classical background. And, you know, well, how does that fit in a jazz motif? And then we have jazz artists, and then we have composer, arranger. And how do you make all this make sense musically? We choose to explore an eclectic genre of music. Mm-hmm. We say that everything is done with a jazz sensibility. But we explore the classics. We have a madrigal that we do that's an a cappella thing. But it was written in 1450, and probably no one would really associate that kind of musical element with what we do jazz-wise, but we've incorporated that kind of feel into our repertoire,
and also,
as well as several other things.
I've got a couple of friends who are just wonderful poets, and, well, Maya Angelou, for example. She's not one of my friends, but I would like
her to be.
Right.
But, and I hear melodies in a story. I see colors. I see the flow, like the, it's sort of like a pastoral or landscaping of a song, and that's sort of my realm of composing music. And then I'll tell Pam, okay, let's play some changes, and I'll sing this, and we come up with these wonderful kind of tunes that we like to present to your audience, for example.
Well, I'm going to have some more fun with this line of questioning.
Uh-oh.
Here.
Uh-oh.
The question on the floor is, what would you say the collaborative process is like among you? Break down the styles that each one of you bring to the table. And I won't ask you individually. Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask, say, Nedra Dixon, what style does Angela Hagenbach bring to the table?
Uh-oh. Okay, well, Angela has this incredible stylized, highly stylized jazz thing, and she's expert at it. She's got a voice that really communicates in so many levels. She's got, you know, she's got this bass, but this, you know, she goes to the end of the keyboard and then some, practically.
Right.
She's
got upper register. She's also very percussive in her mm-hmm. musical nature, so she does things vocally. She also she plays a lot of the percussion instruments in some of our Latin bass tunes, but she also does things with her mouth.
There's no drums and snares in here.
Tyrone's back here.
We have our bassist back there.
Yeah.
These brothers are being quiet, being very quiet. That's good. That's
that
good.
Are musically incredible and adds
right.
such such texture and depth and beauty to everything that she does, singularly as a premier jazz artist, and what she brings to Book of Gaia as
wait
well.
Wait a minute. I'm gonna run this train here. Angela Hagenbach, what does Pamela bring to the fray?
Well, where to begin? Well, Pamela has such a wonderful, rich, soulful voice, speaking as a vocalist. Her voice is like warm and very lyrical and very soulful. And that's just her singing. And then her piano style, her arranging, in some cases are very percussive, which I really like because, you know, in my next life, I'm going to be a percussionist or something, or a bass player, because I, you know. And so she has a real knack of getting into my voice and Nedra's voice and her voice in her arranging. She pulls out, she's learning our voices so well that she has a knack for pulling out where our strong suits are as an entity. And she's just masterful at that. And you see her at a workshop. She's phenomenal. Mm-hmm. So she's just, I just don't know where to stop or start with Pam, because she's just such an amazing artist. And her songwriting even is just masterful. So now, I'm just happy to be a part of, that she's a part of our group.
Now, Pamela, by process of elimination,
mm-hmm. uh-oh.
By deduction, this is just basic math.
I know, right?
Tell us about
Ms.
Nedra Dixon.
Okay. The thing that I am getting the most, and I am really so appreciative of, is the information and the expertise that Nedra has in the theater situation, because that is not a world that I am a part of. And it has worked its way into the workings of Book of Gaia. And I'm kind of the loose end. I mean, it's like anything you wear is fine. Anything, you know, and the way you move is fine. But she has helped me to see that it really is about visuals as well as audible. Is that a word? Audio.
Audible.
Like I'm talking about fruit. Audible fruits, edible fruits. But that is one thing. I mean, she's a master at it. And whenever we have, we're putting together Chant of Harlem, Angela and I both, because she was in the show, the Wiz at mm-hmm. that particular time, but she would come after the show And she would stay too long hours, and Angela and I had the assignment of writing pieces of whatever our topic was. She took what we had, and she made it into a theatrical thread that was really amazing for me to see because I had never been around that before. So that's what I am so thankful of being with her for, as well as my other sister friend over here. That this has been a blessing for me.
Now, that's a nice round answer. A good exercise there. You're performing here live for us on radio, but tell our listeners, tell me, what's your stage show like? What preparation is involved, and how do you interact with the crowd?
Well, we fill the audience, and we want we engage them in such a way that they fill us, and so it's a sort of a cyclical thing, and you know, we build the show from, you know, that has an arc and an apex, so that it goes somewhere, and then it sort of crescendos.
Yeah. It does.
And then, of course, and then we're chatty, and we
make you laugh.
We make you laugh.
We might make you cry, but it's because it you feel have connected with something that we've either sung, or some words or lyrics that are part of a song, but you might pop your fingers a little bit, stamp your toes, but we encourage interaction. Mm-hmm. We really do, because if we don't get anything coming from you, we still gonna get something going to you. But it feels better if we kind of know what you're feeling.
Mm-hmm. And part of our some of our selections, actually, we call it in theater breaking the fourth wall, where you directly speak to the audience and invite them into your living room, and they actually become a part of the happenings as well. We have a medley, we call it the weather medley, where we drop everything and just talk directly, specifically to women, other women in the audience, and
okay, give us an example. Talk to a woman in our audience right now. She might be sitting in the car, might be sitting at the computer.
Okay, women out there in Radio Land. Now, we have issues with our one particular man. We know, you know, women have a man that we all share in common. Now, is that something that a woman can stand here in a radio booth and say, all women have one man that we share in common? Well, we do.
And I'm sorry about that.
And this man has everything to do with how we conduct our day. You know, we as women like to go out looking good. We want everything to be in place. Our clothing to be fine, our shoes are on, and our hair has to be right. Now, this man has to do everything with our hair. Do you know who this man could be? You know, he's a great predictor. The great weatherman is who we are talking about, that we have.
And sometimes
in
we can't really quite understand why he gets paid.
If this weatherman is off, he can tell us that the day is going to be gorgeous. You know, 85 degrees outside, our hair is going to be able to be in any shape, way, or form that we decide that it is. But we open the door and it's 103 and humid, then everything is out the window. The phrase bad hair day was coined because of a bad weather predictions.
So basically what we're hearing here, what we're saying, what we've established, is that the problems men have are based on weathermen.
That's
it right. All starts with the lies from the weathermen. Stop lying to these women out here.
So you guys need to go out and deal with these weathermen.
That's not to deal with the female weather
right.
women.
Yes, right.
That's right.
They usually get it right.
They understand.
Now, the next song, East of the Village, very New York jazz vibe, composed by Hank Mobley, George Johnson. Tell us about it from an arranger's perspective, Pamela.
I actually heard the song, I must admit, when my friend George V. Johnson was here at the Blue Room, and we've known George, Robert and I have known George for many years, and we went to have dinner with him. And his parting, he likes to sing, of course, that's what he does. But when we were getting ready to get in the car and drive away and say our goodbyes, he started singing this tune. And he has got lyrics to a lot of Hank Mobley tunes, but this one caught my ear. And I said, this is going to be, you know, I think this will work well for us, because it talks about a community and the way it used to be, and the way I do believe that we are, we would love for that community situation to happen among everyone now. So that's how that came about.
Well, let's get right into it. East of the Village, composed by Hank Mobley and George Johnson, and performed today live in studio by Book of Gaia.
Down on the river, east of the village, before the sun came up, people were working. My father told me sacred stories about the village passed down through time. Nobody killing, nobody stealing. Everyone knew their way, everyone willing to help their mothers and their fathers down in the village.
That was a long time ago.
The people lived in the village where everybody respects you with love. The children knew how to listen good. Everyone looked up, yes, and gave you love. People would care. People were sharing. Everyone knew their way. Everyone willing to help their mothers and their fathers down in the village.
Long time ago,
down by the river, east of the village. Down by the river, east of the village. Down by the river,
east of the village.
Before the sun came up, people were working.
Father told me sacred stories about the village that was passed down through time.
Down by the river, east of the village. Down by the river, east of the village.
Nobody killed, nobody stealing. Everyone knew their way, everyone the willing to help their mothers and their fathers.
Down in the village, that was long time ago.
The people lived in the village where everybody respects you with love. The children knew how to listen good. Everyone looked up, yes, and gave you love.
People would care. People would share
the feeling.
Everyone knew the river way.
I've known rivers ancient as the world and older than the flow of human blood through human veins. My soul has grown deep like the rivers. I bathed in the Euphrates when dawns were young. I built my hut along the Congo and it lulled me to sleep. I looked upon the Nile and I raised pyramids above it, and I heard the singing of the Mississippi when Abe Lincoln went down to New Orleans, and I watched her muddy bosom turn all golden in the sunset. I've known rivers, ancient, dusky rivers. My soul has grown deep like the rivers.
The song East of the Village, composed by Hank Mobley and George V. Johnson, performed here live by KC-based female trio Book of Gaia, with a little bit of Langston Hughes' A Negro Speaks of Rivers, the poem infused into East of the Village. And let's jump on the A train from East of the Village and go uptown and get straight into Chant of Harlem as we get out of here on Central Standard. And Chant of Harlem is based on the Harlem Renaissance, speaking of Langston Hughes and that whole connection to the Negro Speaks of Rivers, I Too Sing America, and
yes.
Poetry
oh,
pieces that were born out of the Harlem Renaissance. This was part of a performance piece that kicked off the Book of Gaia, so we're coming full circle here on Central Standard. Let's get right into it. Chan of Harmon, Harlem, rather. Play Me Out by Pamela Baskin Watson. Book of Gaia is our guest. Angela, Nedra Dixon, who you may know from 12th Street Jump, and the aforementioned Pamela Baskin Watson. They're joined today by Tyrone Clark on upright bass and Eddie Moore on the keyboard. Book of Gaia celebrate their first year by performing this Friday, July 20th, at the Blue Room on 18th and Vine, in the 18th and Vine District, beginning at 8:30 p.m. We'd like to thank them for joining us today on Central Standard. Tune in tomorrow as we find out that there's nothing trivial about trivia games in and around the Metro. Our show is produced by Andrea Salenzi with engineering help today from Steven Steigman. Up to Date is next with a look at KC Metro developments. I'm Jabalani LaFall. This is Central Standard. Enjoy your day.